This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another video on the Blues Focus channel. And today we're going to be previewing Tuesday's game against Huddersfield Town. And today I'm joined here by Cozzy of Takes That Chance. How are you doing, Cozzy?
Yeah, good, thanks. Five unbeaten and I'm not sure it's Manchester City standards, but it's an improvement. So yeah, things are, we're on the up at Huddersfield, which is it's a bit of an oil tanker turning slowly, but yeah, we're improving.
Yeah, I mean, already you sound pretty positive about how things are going at the moment. As you said, they're sort of five games unbeaten and the new manager as well in Darren Moore. What are your takes on Darren Moore and also the departure of Neil Warnock?
Yeah, it was all a bit sudden, to be honest with you, as well. So I think Neil Warnock signed a one-year contract in the summer, which none of us thought that would happen. We thought that was him at the end of the season. I mean, he did a lap of honour about a couple of times on the pitch and stuff. It looked like there's no way I thought they'd, you know, he'd stay, hang around, but obviously, we went under new ownership, a bit like you, and I think what was needed was almost a safe pair of hands. We, you know, last thing we wanted to bring in was another inexperienced coach like we had last year with Mark Fotheringham, nearly to disastrous consequences, really. And obviously, Neil Warnock performed the greatest of escapes. And yeah, it was quite a surprise for me, to be honest with you, that he stayed into the new season. I was a bit disappointed in a strange way because I just wanted him to ride off into the sunset. You know, it was 74, nothing to prove. You know, he's done it twice with those. He had the statues ready in Huddersfield ever when he wanted. So I must admit, when I heard he was staying on, I was a bit, everyone else was delighted, certainly the older generation. But I think a few of us thought it maybe were time for a change. So, and to be honest, the season started with Neil Warnock and I. And although it was, it's transpired that, yeah, it was a one-year contract, but apparently the agreement between all the parties was because new ownership, new chief executive, new director of football, you know, once they get identified the man that they wanted to take the club forward, then Neil Warnock and Ronnie Jepson, his assistant, would step aside. But I think a lot of us thought, because they'd come off the back of two wins as well. So, and all of a sudden this news was announced that, you know, after the Stoke game the other week, he was leaving. And there was a lot of, you know, so there's a lot of like people thinking, wow, they've got their man. It's, you know, some people were like, what are we doing getting rid of a guy who's pretty much, I would say, guarantee his safety in the Championship. But I think that was always the plan. But I think a lot of people thought maybe Christmas or maybe even the new year or something. But I suppose when was a good time to kind of sever ties really as well? So, yeah, I think from the outside looking in, it might seem a bit odd, but I think that was always what was going to happen. I think, though, Darren Moore was an interesting one because I think he's one of those, announced to everybody, again, expectations are running wild. We've got our man Warnock's going and it was going to be announced like 2 days afterwards. So, you know, people, I mean, what is a big name anymore? I mean, Wayne Rooney, I don't think he pulled up many trees at Derby. Lampard, you know, obviously that season at Derby with the players, but he's crashed and burned with his manager after that. But trouble is what? So I think everyone's getting expectations well above their, what they want. But so Darren Moore came and was announced. I think at first, if I'm kind of a rule of thumb of the fans, I'm like a bit, not meh, but it's like, I don't think he's one of those like, get in there, you know. But I think if it happened in the summer, Sam, and I think if they'd move Warnock on, Dan and Mona to come, obviously got Sheffield Wednesday up, I think it'd have been real positive, you know, vibes for everyone. But because it's happened when it's happened, and Warnock kind of carried on, and he's got such a love affair with the fans, and everybody, you know, right, they've got the man and new owner, big statement, Darren Moore. It's just like, but no, the impact's been really good. I mean, with, you can argue with two unbeaten, or we haven't won in two, depending on how you want to judge the two games. But I think what I've always liked about Darren Moore is, I think it's one of those, you know, like, when you see people talking on the TV and what have you, there's some people as fans, don't you? You just think, I like what he's got to say. I like the way he speaks. I like the way he engages the audience. I've always felt that about Darren Moore. So I was really chuffed when he turned it around at Sheffield Wednesday, especially in dramatic style with the playoff second leg. And because he's a good guy, isn't he? A good football man. And, you know, I was really pleased. Obviously, unbelievable what happened with Hillsborough, with Chancery. And I look on it as a, you know, a bit of a coup, to be honest with you, mate. Because let's be honest, you know, Huddersfield's squad is not the best, probably one of the weakest in the division. The budget, at the moment, until the new owner kind of finds his feet, I wouldn't say it's one of the best. So I think Darren Moore could have, well, sounds a bit disrespecting his club, but could probably bided his time. Obviously, the sackings come like they do, and maybe could have gone, you know, somewhere else. So I thought it was really good that we've got him. And I just think Sammy's a safe pair of hands that Huddersfield need. If Huddersfield, the last 10 years, it's been like boom, bust, is incredible. If we're not going for promotion, we'll be relegated. There's never a calm season. And, you know, everyone always wants that to build. And I know football, you're only as good as, I always think if you're five without a win, God, it's like that's yours at the moment. But I always think five, six without a win, you're under massive pressure as a coach. But there's talk of a 3-year plan, and we kind of went the Brentford model with our academy. So we totally changed it. You know, we only had two age groups in the end, the 21s and the 19s. But now they're going back, you know, to grassroots with the academy. It's also, we're building an academy from scratch. So I think it's kind of Darren Moore. We've got one eye on him to be kind of helping out with that, with his experience and stuff. And the way it started as well, Sam, I think it quite interesting. In his press conference, they were talking about what you know, what kind of style. And we kept mentioning about attacking football. Now, I know a few Sheffield Wednesday fans, and they were like, well, I don't think you'll get that attacking football, what you're thinking. But they were pretty adamant on it. And Saturday, if that's it's only been with us for 9 days, but Saturday was fantastic against Ipswich, who's, you know, the form team in the division. You know, they don't fear anyone. They come and try and have a go. And we matched them, mate, and we should have won. Their keeper stood on his head, mate. And we were so near 4 minutes from seeing it out. They scored an equaliser. Great game, but we should have won the game, really. But to go toe-to-toe with Ipswich, to play a kind of a different style of football, pressing, which we've not had for a while, probably long since David Wagner disappeared, and that was like 6 seasons ago. So there were some really good signs. The crowd were behind him, because part of me wondered, you know, with the Warnock lovers, and it's like, you know, because I had a few people, Darren Moore, what are we doing with him? So, and obviously we got a late point last Monday against Coventry, 95th minute, which 90 plus five equalizer is always going to get the fan base buzzing out there. So, yeah, I think there's some good signs, really. I think people have accepted Darren Moore. He's brought in all his backroom staff, which I think sometimes when recent Huddersfield managers have failed, where we've not let them bring in their own staff, it's like part of me thinks, well, what's the point of just bringing in the own man? And I'm into it with the coaching staff from maybe two or three previous regimes. So we're doing it right. And yeah, I don't think people want to hear it, do this slow build and safe pair of hands. You know, honestly, mate, we'd be tough with 14th, 13th and a risk-free season. But as you're looking at the division, you know, it's early days, but Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham looking big troubled already. And I think maybe there's another spot available. Not writing anyone off just yet, but yeah. So I think, no, all in all, mate, I think it'd be a good appointment. And yeah, he's a proper hands-on club man, and interesting stuff. Like, he's been to visit all the staff in the office. The office is the souvenir shop. That's kind of a guy he is. He's not one of those, I'll look after the first team. He's proper in your club. And, you know, as talking about in the international break, catching up with the B team guys, the youth and stuff. So I think we've got a manager who's a proper manager as well, and with a point to prove and a good record. So I think it's a good appointment.
Yeah. When I saw that you guys appointed Darren Moore, I thought it was a fantastic appointment. You know, it's somebody that done so well to get up to the Championship with Sheffield Wednesday, especially in the position they're in, where they're, you know, 4-0 down to Peterborough, and they had that miraculous comeback. It just shows that, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday players really bought into what Darren Moore was trying to get out of the team. And yeah, hopefully for you guys, he can do something like that with you to sort of galvanise you and lift you up the league. Because as you said, you know, a 14th, 13th place finish, Birmingham are in the same position where like we're in a place where obviously we've had the takeover and that, and expectations are just massive at the moment. Yeah. But it's one, tends to be one of the things where there is a plan in place, like a 3-year plan, what you said, you know, where you gradually build up the league or whatever. And I'm sure Birmingham fans will be sort of be thinking about, you know, the situation at Huddersfield where they see Darren Moore come in and then your fans be happy with a mid-table finish. I think we'd kind of be the same as well. So it's sort of two clubs that are in very similar positions, both with now new American owners as well. And sort of speaking about Birmingham, Huddersfield and the I suppose, history of the fixture and that, what's your sort of main memories of the meet-up in the past?
Mate, it's a bit of a weird one, really, because there's a bit of a rivalry, certainly at our end, between you and us. And I think it steeps back to the Barry Fry, God, you lucky young guys. I don't know if you remember this, but like...
Well, it's the 90s, I know that.
Oh, God. So, yeah, when we went up under Neil Warnock then, Birmingham, were, obviously yourselves won the... I think they won the title, didn't you, that season? And it was us and you for quite a long time. And we missed. We had to go the hard route in the playoffs. But I remember you won promotion on our pitch. Well, I think won the title on our pitch. And Barry Fry, Claridge and all that, you know, doing a dance. And then the biggest thing that sticks in our throat is 2001. It was an incredible scenario, really. There was a four teams battling, for I think, for one relegation spot, if I remember right. And we were 16-1 to go down that day out of a four-horse race.
Wow.
And it was incredible. All the results went against us. And Curtis Woodhouse, I think, he might have scored both goals, to be honest. Or did he beat us one or two? I think, and you relegated us, mate, and you proper rubbed it in our face. And it was, yeah, honestly, I remember your fans singing, "We'll meet again, don't know where." Honestly, it still haunts us a little bit. So, yeah, that honestly, it was our fault, really. But all the results went against us. It was incredible. And then I remember thinking, oh my God, if Birmingham and Scotty were doomed. And yeah, it was an honourable moment. And when you're 16, I want to go down on the last day with a four-horse race. And then there was other little things as well that kind of, later on after that, or it might have been before, we had Peter Unlove on loan, and Trevor Francis, who were the manager, bless his soul now, he wouldn't extend the loan, and Peter Unlove had to go back. This was the same season, to be honest with you. So it was almost like we felt like it was like you were trying to, and obviously there were no issue against us, but like you pulled him back and we went down that season. So yeah, I don't know, it's always been a weird one, really. It's always been a bit of a, you know, at Huddersfield then, just one or two memories where, you know, kind of where you've kind of got one over us as well. But yeah, just looking at, it's really weird, looking at your kind of, from the outside looking in, obviously, seeing the stadium carry on, and finally it looks like there's some development going on there, bad owners. It's really, I always think it's just like a big shame, really, when you go there and just feels that the place just seems very flat. So I'm interested. I'm going down tomorrow night, but it'd be interested, they suppose. I mean, I don't know whether they will, because obviously five without a win, and like expectations need to be tempered. But I've always felt it's almost like just everyone's on a bit of a downer there, really, and things should be doing better. Because obviously, you know, you won that League Cup not too many, I can remember that one, not too many moons ago. So yeah, it's always an interesting game, in, you know, Birmingham and Huddersfield. And I've got to be honest, though. I mean, you might say the same, but I think we've got a lot of injuries and knocks and stuff. And to be honest, a midweek game is not ideal for us. I don't think it sounds like it's for you from what I was hearing on the press conference today. So who knows what's going to happen tomorrow night? Anything could happen. It could be a dire game. It could be an interesting game. But I think, I don't be fooled by, five without a defeat. It sounds like we're on a bit of a roll. But we had a poor start. We had a tough fixture list at the start. Leicester, Norwich, Plymouth, when they just come up, so the place were bouncing, they got the bounce on us the first day, so we had to do it really tough. So we have kind of come back into it, but we're a limited team, Sam, and but we've got some dangerous players, and I think Darren Moore will get the best out of them. But honestly, later on, if you ask me a prediction, I haven't got a clue tomorrow, mate.
I think it's one of the things where, you know, we both sound like we're in a sort of similar situation with our club, so I'd say it's got a draw written all over it, but I don't know what you're going to say. But I think it's one of the things where you say there about like the club and I suppose the state of it at the moment with the stadium, and there is the new investment, but this stadium stuff has been happening for far too long now, you know, 3.5 years. And whenever I'm watching the games, like say, for instance, on Sky or whatever, it's just a bit of an embarrassment. Like when people go to watch us or whatever, and you've got that bottom bit, it's just literally like a construction site. And it's been like that for you know, 3.5 years now. And it just seems to be that when that's up and running, then it will sort of galvanize the fans. And I think the fans then will make more noise because they know that, you know, what's happening around the club is going to help what's happening inside the club with, you know, everything that's going on. And that's
great because obviously you got off to a nice start, didn't you? Beat Leeds, Tom Brady were there. And the hype must have been real after that day. Obviously, when you beat them as well, it's like, this is it. This could be, and obviously it's kind of, but like you say, it's a long-term thing, but fans don't, I mean, God, you've been so patient more than anyone, to be honest, Blues fans, aren't there, over the years?
At this point, it's not even patience.
No, no, because you've danced with death. Obviously, our ex-manager, Lee Clark, he did a kind of a Warnock Great Escape, didn't he, at the end of Bolton that season. Mm. So you've probably been more likely to go down many times, haven't you, than getting the playoffs for the last 10 seasons. It just seems to be like Groundhog Day, doesn't it, and that as well. But yeah, I look at your kind of manager and wonder, what's kind of the feeling there, mate? Is it, obviously, when you go 5 without a win and new owners, because he didn't appoint, is it John Eustace still, that Sam, that you got?
It's John Eustace, and the fact that you know, we've gone 5 without a win in the league, and it's actually 6 in all competitions as well, because you got knocked out of the League Cup to Cardiff. And now there is a lot of Birmingham fans that are saying this week is really important for John Eustace and his job, because, you know, we want to give a manager time to sort of mesh around with all the players, you know, get them playing in a way that they're all gluing together and just sort of knowing each other's runs and everything. But it tends to be that, you know, at the moment going forward, we've only scored 1 goal in our last 4 games. And it's one of the things that is a cause for concern, because of the amount of new players we brought in, you'd think that, you know, there would be goals in the team, because at the back we have looked pretty solid. But obviously when you get a goal early on, that relieves a lot of the pressure on the defence. And it just tends to be that, you know, a lot of the goals we conceded this season have been in the second half, where, you know, and there's been chances in the first half where we could have put them away, relieved that pressure, and then not made it as important to sort of keep the ball out the back of the net, because we've already got that goal in the bag. And it's one of the things where, you know, we've got to start scoring goals soon. And if we don't start scoring goals soon, then the manager's going to be under pressure.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, obviously, they always think new owners have got their ideas. So it's interesting, obviously, they've identified Eustace or given him at least the start of the season. So I think it'll be interesting there. Is Janina Bakuna still there, Sam?
Bakuna is still there. He played the last couple of games. It's one of the ones where he started against QPR, and then I think he may have came off the bench against Norwich. But he's one of the people that isn't exactly a nailed starter at the moment, but he does have the potential for it. And it's all about his mindset, I think, with Bakuna. He's one of the players that if he's on his day, fantastic. But then if he doesn't sort of have the energy and the effort, you can really tell that he's just not bothered. I don't know what you're going to say, because obviously he played for Huddersfield as well.
Exactly that. Yeah. The season kind of, we had a poor start to the season and dug ourselves out of it. Janina Bakuna were kind of the catalyst as well. But like you say, it's just about a going day and that as well. It's so frustrating, you know, Janina Bakuna. And I've seen him in a few of your games and that as well. It looks like nothing's changed in that as well. And especially when it gets a bit colder, the gloves come on. You don't know if he's, but then he could like, but he scored a sensation. I remember last season for you, he scored a sensational goal, didn't he? And it's just like, he could have a going day, but some of his manager's patience is tested with him as well. But a character. But to be fair, I think for what we got him in, he kind of coming in the Premier League season, wasn't good enough for that standard. But I think some of the managers like Huddersfield didn't know how to handle him as well. So sounds like nothing's changed, mate.
Exactly. I suppose just, you know, trying to get the best out of the player that you've got, because you know he's got potential, but it's all about his mindset and whether he's willing to do the right things on the ball and off the ball as well, because he's got flair, he's got technical skill. And I believe when he sort of really wants to, he has the work rate. But when things don't go our way, he's one of the players that, you know, is he going to go in for them 50-50s or whatever when you're a couple goals down and you need to get back in the game? So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm sure he will feature against Huddersfield. But quickly, finally, just grab a score prediction from you, because I'm thinking 1-1. I'm thinking it's got draw written all over it.
Yeah, we love a draw at the moment as well, but...
You lost your game in 1-1, so for them to be 1-0, that'd be
I think you've nicked the score, Sam. I said it to Coventry podcast last week and we got 1-1, so which is very rare I'm right, mate. But honestly, if I think we're coming back up the M42 tomorrow night, mate, with a point again, it's a good result and that as well for us. But it's
a building block, isn't it? You know,
the trouble is if I knew our team, mate, because there's a few doubts and ifs and buts and stuff, if I could have some inside info from the training ground, I could maybe be a bit more confident. But with who they're saying could be missing, his midfield could be a bit light, mate. So I think, I'd probably take a draw really as well. And kind of move on to Sheffield Wednesday, who are bound to beat us out there. I mean, Darren Moore going back, he just knows Saturday.
Just giving one of the things in it. They haven't won a game all season, and then when the ex manager goes back.
They're awful, haven't they? But yeah, just quotes to the fixture list. I think there'll be more love for Darren Moore than anyone else in that ground, I think, on Saturday. But yeah, no, tomorrow night, I'd take a 1-1, mate, definitely.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's going to be a tight game tomorrow, and it's going to be an enjoyable affair. So thank you very much for coming on, Cozzy, to Blues Focus. And we really appreciate your time and having a chat with us.
Yeah, no worries. Maybe later in the season, the return game, I can come back and see how our seasons are getting on there.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Brilliant. All right, that would be it for today for episode of Blues Focus. Make sure to look out on the channel for the podcast that's coming later on this week. And I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about then, the sort of reaction to the Huddersfield game and a preview to the West Brom game on Friday as well. So make sure to look out for that. And we make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe. And most importantly, keep rolling.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
There's always something new and exciting happening in Montgomery County, Maryland. Join podcaster and business leader Kelly Leonard and me, Bob Levy, on another episode of Something to Talk About, where we speak with industry leaders making an impact in our county.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.